The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Robert Scott Bell Show.
Where's Scott?
Good morning, Vietnam!
Rise and shining. Wakey waking.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning to you.
And you.
And you.
Robert Scott Bell. You are listening to The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Robert Scott Bell Show.
The FDA is about to get a lot more muscle.
More money and more power.
Sweeping new powers.
The most sweeping overhaul of the nation's food safety laws since the 1930s.
Robert Scott Bell.
If you like the efficiency of the post office, the competence of FEMA, and the compassion of the IRS, we will love the nationalized health care bill.
Robert Scott Bell.
The British Medical Journal accused a researcher, Andrew Wakefield, of outright fraud.
People need to look at the details and not look at the headlines.
This is like Salem, the visceral response that they're trying to whip up in the public to try and crush this dissent.
Enough is enough.
Taking on bureaucrats and corporations that would stand in the way of health freedom and making sense out of medical propaganda. The voice of health, freedom, and liberty, Robert Scott Bell.
Rock and Roll Tuesday here on the Robert Scott Bell Show. I don't know why it's Rock and Roll Tuesday. It's Rock and Roll. Every day is Rock and Roll
Day.
Every day is
Robert
Scott Bell Show, Don. Hey, yesterday we were rocking. How about you like that? Dr. Bitar, man. I was glad to hear his wife's doing well, but what a fascinating discussion about the, you know, the five things that they are doing to seduce moms to get their kids to get these shots. Wasn't it amazing?
It was. It was a very good article, or article, interview.
Yeah,
I'm reading articles,
article.
Interviews, whatever.
No.
Anyway, Robert, I know that this has been discussed numerous times over the years when we've talked about immunizations and flu shots and stuff, but it's just beautiful the logic about how you have so many people that are trying to make people feel guilty about not wanting to get vaccinated. And they'll say that if you don't get your kid vaccinated, you're going to endanger everybody, all of the kids at the school and everybody in the state, and everybody's going to die. So, and it's so simple. The logic behind, you know, the fact that if your kid gets vaccinated and my kid doesn't get vaccinated, how is my kid supposed to endanger your kid? And I don't think a lot of people think about that, that they just want to think – they jump on the bandwagon of if you don't get your kid vaccinated, you're going to endanger everybody around them.
Don, do you think we were clear enough about that? I mean, that is a basic.
I mean, how long have we been doing this? Yeah. And yesterday when I heard you guys, you know, talking about that, it just jumped out at me, and I thought, gosh, you know, I mean, how can you explain that logic away? Mm. You want to get your kid vaccinated, fine. If I don't get my kid vaccinated, then why are you going to jump on me?
Right.
Because you think my kid's going to make your kid die. Your kid got the vaccine.
Don, you know, when I read these articles online and I see the responses, like, you know, they're allowed to comment on them, it's like 99% of the people, and this shows me we've got a long way to go. 99% of the parents on there are going, yeah, those evil parents, they're putting us all at risk. They're putting my kids at risk. They should mandate the vaccine. I mean, literally, the level of ignorance. I don't know if they're all paid shills for Big Pharma or if they're all just ignorant and stupid. But then there's, you know, 1% to 3% that will try their level best to say, hey, exactly that point. How is it that I'm endangering your child, right? Your child is protected by vaccines. And then they'll go, but herd immunity, right? And they'll rattle off percentages like, and they have no concern that they're basically turning their kids into cattle. And on top of that, there's no evidence. There's no scientific evidence for this thing called herd immunity to begin with. But, you know, it doesn't stop them from screaming and crying and stomping their feet. And how outrageous that somebody would leave the herd. That's what this is about. In fact, today we're going to talk a lot about the concept of slavery on the air. Liam Sheff's coming back, and it's one of my favorite topics. I don't like slavery. I despise it, but so many of us are still living in bondage, and I really want to talk about that from economic to physiological to pharmaceutical to vaccine bondage. And, you know, there's some amazing stuff we're going to be covering today on the air.
Yep. Excellent. And you know, the funny thing about the herd immunity is that a lot of people, when they're trying to argue in favor of vaccination, they throw herd immunity out there like it's some kind of powerful argument, some buzzword.
Right.
You know, well, but herd immunity. Yeah, and
I heard about it.
Yeah. What's so great about herd immunity? Exactly. You know, why is it that you're jumping on that herd immunity bandwagon? I don't think you understand what that is.
Yeah, they got nothing. And it gets worse for them. So, you know, the gals at Sane Vax are always coming up with great stories or linking through, and we love to cover what they're doing.
They are awesome.
A new title here, and this is covering a story from Halloween, in fact, but it just came out, yesterday? Pro-vaccine immunologist admits a shocking truth about vaccines. Now, we talked yesterday with Dr. Bitar about how the docs are trying to deceive you into getting this. This goes a whole step further, and it links out to an article at Gaeta Communication, G-A-E-T-A, Inspired Seminar to Public. Anyway, it's really amazing. They actually had a big seminar, and the Q&A part of it, because one of the people that presented here actually knows the things we know about vaccines, that they don't work, they're dangerous, and they're unnecessary, and yet the immunologist there did not attack this person. In fact, during the Q&A session, they actually queried one of the immunologists to say, hey, was this, you know, this presentation, this person that said all this stuff about vaccines, were they accurate? And basically, yeah, it's true. But we have some audio from this. You want to hear this?
Yeah, I had to listen to this several times to believe I was hearing what I was hearing. Let's go ahead and play it.
Moms and dads, listen to this. Moms and dads, those of you who really don't understand, you know, about these well baby visits, what they're all about.
So the science seems fairly clear that for the first year of life, probably the immunization is not stimulating the kind of response that we expect it to stimulate. So what's the rationale for continuing to do that if it's not doing what it's supposed to do?
The vaccines are given at pediatric wellness visits, and the idea is that you are training a parent to bring their child in at all the pediatric wellness visits, and that it's only the year visit that actually is truly important, but that for most parents, you're not going to get them to bring their kid in if they don't come in at 2 months, 4 months, and 6 months. And so it's actually more of a training thing. It's interesting. I was on the phone with Mott County Public Health last week with one of their vaccine nurses. And she was like, oh, you're talking about vaccines? Make sure you tell them they have to do that year shot because the first three don't work.
Wow.
And I was like, wow. Yeah, I know.
These people are laughing
about it. Wow. You know, Robert, you want to laugh about this?
Yeah.
But this is scary crap, man.
Yeah, this is serious stuff.
I mean, seriously? I mean,
it's not just wild and crazy Robert Scott Bell, homeopath, wild radio guy saying this. The immunologists are basically confirming what we've been talking about on the air for how many years now?
So the vaccine doesn't work, but we're going to make you bring and scare you into bringing your baby in to get three vaccinations and be injected with this stuff. Even though it doesn't work, but we want you to do this because we're trying to train you to continue to bring your child in after the you know, first year.
See, this is more.
You've got to be kidding.
Herd immunity, and of course, the whole idea is that humans are animals; they need to be trained like they're circus animals. You need to come in at 2, 4, 6 months because you need the shot. Well, no, you don't need the shot, but we need to train you so that you'll come back at the year when we really want you to get the shot. The immunologist admits it doesn't work and that the whole idea is training you in a Pavlovian fashion to come in for a well baby. This is why? So we can inject your kids with things that don't work and that may, in fact, kill them. And then we have all of these parents on these blogs and these news stories that are ignorant about this, that are frightened to look at themselves in the mirror to recognize that they have become subservient and basically worshipful of the state religion, which is modern medicine, or as John Rappaport calls it, the Church of Biological Mysticism here. This is a shocking revelation, not because we don't already know it, but to have the immunologist on the inside acknowledge this. This is all about training you to jump. When we're a doctor, we say jump, and you say how high. when we say roll up your child's sleeve or drop their drawer so we can give them a shot in their bottom, wherever it is, we want you to comply. Obedience is necessary for this, you know, charade to continue.
Well, and I think what you've done, Robert, is you've answered your question that we began the segment with, which is, are these people that are making these comments, are they paid shills, mm-hmm. or are they ignorant? I think the answer after listening to this audio is neither. They're just very well trained.
They're trained dogs. You're right. How do you like that, Mom and Dad? Now, if you're in this audience, you're probably not anymore the trained dog, and we're grateful. But how are you going to help those that still are? Very interesting question. Listen, we got a lot to do. I'm going to talk about the FDA's reconstituting, reworking food that is bad to make it good and sell it to you. Mm, that's going to be yummy. Chocolate something for everybody. I'm going to talk
reconditioned
about,
food for me.
Yeah, I want to talk about taxes, listen, property, slavery in ways that you've never heard it discussed on the air. Even here, we're going to go further with Liam Sheff. We're going to start previewing. We've got the upcoming World AIDS Day special. Liam Sheff's going to be here. We'll talk about the HIV test frauds as well. The $7 trillion that was printed out of thin air by Ben Bernanke, what that means for you. And, of course, 866-939-BELL, robertscottbell.com for all the news, naturalnewsradio.com as well. Should you decide to put your email address in there, we'll get you a daily update as well. Thanks as well to Prepper Podcast for picking up the show every day. We'll be right back.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Hello, this is Jonathan Wagner. We have an internet website, www.choosetobehealthy.com, that carries many of the products discussed on Robert's show, including 100% whole food chromium and selenium, silica, as well as sovereign silver and Nordic naturals. Choosetobehealthy.com features the Rolls Royce of probiotics. It's Dr. O'Hara's probiotics. Dr. O'Hara, a world-renowned microbiologist, formulated a unique probiotic that blends ancient Japanese fermentation methods with 21st century technology. No refrigeration is needed. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics contains the strongest lactic acid bacteria known to man based on scientific laboratory research. 6.25 times stronger. Quite simply, it works and works very well. So go to our website, www.choosetobehealthy.com, or call us toll-free, 866-424-1077. That's 866-424-1077. We're here to help.
What nutrition are you missing that's leading to the four major diseases? Cancer, arthritis, heart disease, and Parkinson's. There are at least 80,000 medical studies that show a lack of the protein glutathione to be linked to cancer, heart disease, Parkinson's, macular degeneration, lung disease, digestive diseases, diabetes, Alzheimer's, ALS, rheumatoid arthritis, and lupus. In all, at least 68 diseases. What is the number one food by which your body is most empowered to increase its glutathione production? It is undamaged whey protein from grass-fed cows. One World Whey is truly the first undamaged whey protein. All other whey protein powders are damaged by heat, chemicals, and filtration. One World Whey is the most life-giving whey protein powder ever produced. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldwhey.com. That's oneworldwhey.com.
Scott Bell Show.
Say a hearty welcome back to my good friend, contributor, conspiracy realist, and more, Liam Sheff. We've got a lot to do this week, Liam, particularly because World AIDS Day is coming up in a couple of days. So we have a special event, two-hour event planned for that day. But we are going to pepper some of the discussion today to include some of your experiences on things leading up to that, including walking into one of those local HIV portable on a... What is it, on a bike? Do they ride around on a bicycle? Or what is it?
Yeah, they're in a donkey. Pizza, what is it? They're in a pizza delivery donkey.
Basically, yeah. And they say, come on in, get your little blood check. We'll tell you if you're going to live, die, or you're going to be on drugs until we kill you. And we'll talk about that and a lot more. Liam, it's good to have you back on, by the way.
Welcome Thank
back.
You.
Yeah. Hope you had a great holiday weekend.
A what?
Oh, yeah, I know. You went to the movies, right?
I had.
Every day? Did you
I
see
don't
a movie?
Like the,
you said you liked the movies over Turkey
I
Day.
I didn't go to the holiday.
You didn't go to anything,
nope.
Did you?
All right.
Well, it's good to see you again. Anyway, we've got some good things to discuss here, or some bad things, depending upon your perspective. Here is the FDA protecting us. You know how we pick on them, the Fear and Death Administration? They're finally doing something good, Liam. This is an article from MSN, all right, the MSN, Microsoft Network, MSNBC, by Jonelle Alicia, and it's about food reconditioning. And I thought all they were doing was reconditioning the children in government schools. You remember when, did you go to a regular school where you had mystery meat, you know, every Tuesday? There were soy burgers and...
Well, I wish it had been soy.
Well, I mean, I don't know if it was pre-genetically engineered soy.
It was pre.
Yeah.
We didn't have soy burgers.
They were mystery meat, we called it.
They called it chicken a la king. It was white bread with like yellow gravy on it.
Right, yeah. I don't know what was in it. I don't know. Amino acids of some derivative, I don't know. But there's a second chance for that food. Or is it a second chance for faulty food? This is bizarre. When a school lunch supplier repackaged moldy applesauce into canned goods and fruit cups, it drew a sharp warning from federal health regulators last month and general disgust from almost everyone else. This article starts. I was appalled that there were actually human beings that were okay with this, says Kantha Shelke, a food scientist and spokeswoman for the Institute of Food Technologies. This is a case of unsafe food. They are trying to salvage that to make a buck. Now, what's the FDA's position on this? You think they'd be like, hey, you can't do that?
Of course.
Right? Wouldn't that be reasonable?
They're the Food and Drug Administration. They're here to protect us from bad industry decisions like putting Schmeat in our ice cream. What about chocolate? Do you know the weirdest thing that I remember this when I was a kid, the chocolate ice cream, and then you'd have chocolate, and the stuff that you remember, the chocolate ice cream flavor is more like, it's kind of like bicycle tire a la seawater.
Yeah.
Like, what is it? And you remember that chocolate that you get in those little cups, little white Dixie cups by the swimming pool, and it was a sort of foam.
Yeah.
And then you get older.
They turned it into floam, and then the kids play with it now.
And then you get older, and you have chocolate, and you go and buy chocolate, and it's this dark, diabolical, delicious thing, and your whole body feels good, and it's like 80% cocoa, and you're wide-eyed, and you feel great. And then some kid comes by, and that smell hits you, and you go, wow, what is that? They say it's chocolate. No, that's I can promise you now, that is not chocolate. Now, here it says right here in this article at MSNBC, chocolate ice cream is a frequent catch-all for botched batches of other flavors, which are doled out in small and mixed with the dark, rich treat in order to avoid waste and expense. Reworking food is a common practice, industry experts say.
Reworking? Reconditioning? Here, Jay Cole, a former federal inspector who now works as a senior consultant with the FDA group. And by the way, that's not the FDA. It's a group that specializes in helping manufacturers comply with the FDA regulations. Guess what? They say any food can be reconditioned.
Yes, it can. For example, you can take stuff that was left in the back of a truck or fell off the back of a truck or maybe in the dumpster behind the McDonald's or Burger King, and with a little bit of work, some suds, some elbow grease, and some scrubbing bubbles.
Roadkill. It's what's for dinner. It's how people do their business, added Shelke, founder of Corvus Blue, a Chicago-based packaging goods consulting firm. They're all learning how to, you know, milk the FDA system to say, yeah, you can recondition foods in the meantime. They're set to ban 2/3 of all dietary supplements since 1994 because they're new ingredients that now need an NDI, basically be treated as a new drug ingredient, not a dietary ingredient. And here they're allowing the reconditioning of botched food into chocolate milk or chocolate ice cream or who knows whatever catch-all mystery meat at school.
Schmeat.
Lovely.
It's what's for breakfast.
Further in this story here, it might be something unappetizing such as insect parts sifted out of cocoa beans or live bugs irradiated and left behind in dried foods like dates and figs. They can recondition that, Liam. Don't you know the FDA is all about protecting the public?
Yes, wait a they second. Are. From
what?
Themselves.
Yeah, well, from having to basically crack down on the industry they're supposed to regulate that lobbies them and really pays them off. But there could be things like Salmonella Tennessee bacteria. I didn't know there was a Tennessee strain of that. It was the Tennessee Valley Authority Salmonella, detected last year in huge lots of hydrolyzed vegetable protein. Ooh, lovely. HVP, a flavor enhancer, another name for MSG as well, in gravy mix and snack foods and dairy. They allow you to recondition that because that never goes bad. Come on, let's be honest about this. Textured vegetable protein, hydrolyzed vegetable protein. I mean, that stuff will be around after the nuclear war. That stuff's going to be around.
It's not really good food. It's genetically modified soy protein, which is leached or bleached out of the stuff through an acid bath process. It's not really food. And I don't have any bias against soy. I think people have been eating it for 8,000 years. But it should be an organic thing prepared in a traditional way. And that can be edamame or it can be tempeh or even tofu is a traditional way that you long cook this thing and give it a natural cooking process, which I think energizes it properly. But the stuff that you leach out and bleach out and then extrude and then dry, and it's always going to be the genetically modified variety. Why shouldn't it be? You know, better living through better living through chemistry. Somebody here in the article then has a funny line.
Yes.
If food is in it, if food,
I can't believe this.
If food is adulterated in an unacceptable way, reconditioning won't fix it, says one critic. You can't cook the poop out of it, he says.
Well, look at this though. No question, FDA regulations do permit foods to be reconditioned. This is according to William Coral, the agency's acting director of compliance. The FDA goes on record saying, "Yeah, you can recondition foods. This will avoid waste and expense." When are they ever cared about waste and expense of companies? No, they add waste and expense to companies. But in this case, it's referencing what? Guess what? The Tennessee salmonella bacteria that I mentioned. They say, well, yeah, they can just heat treat the food or nuke it, and the salmonella won't be there, and we'll allow them to reprocess it and distribute it again.
I think I ate a lot of this stuff in school. What was that? It was white bread and yellow gravy. And then there'd be sometimes, sometimes there'd be a strip of something that had been pressed.
Yep.
And I guess that was some sort of animal. Maybe it was some sort of animal. Maybe it was.
Maybe it was mold. Mold is not an easily reconditionable product, according to Carell there.
Maybe it was Schmidt.
It's not okay to take moldy tomatoes and make them into tomato paste. Well, thank goodness for little things.
I wonder about that. Is it? I mean, do they allow that? Because you know that they...
Can't they just sell it as penicillin paste?
In mass production, you can't get away from the maggots and the offspring of flies. But you have maggots in a lot of the stuff. They don't really try to take in your grade C, grade D tomato sauce, which is what's served in schools. You know, the Sysco Corporation is what feeds institutional boarding schools and prisons and all this kind of stuff.
Oh my gosh.
You know, their cheese is the leftover stuff from the bottom of the bleeding, ulcerating udder on the bottom of the heap of the downer cows that they then, you know, mix with some sort of hydrogenated soy protein. I mean, remember these blocks from school, these blocks of stuff, sort of semi-gelatinous stuff, and they would call it cheese, and then you would eat that, and somehow wouldn't feel quite right for quite a while. Mm-hmm. You just have to lay on the floor. Well, FDA calls it reconditioning. That's why we love the. That's why we want to dismantle. That's why I want to dismantle the FDA. Yeah, yes. How about the people who say you shouldn't dismantle the FDA? Remember, Ron Paul says we don't need an FDA.
We don't need an FDA. Of course, if they're reconditioning food. How else will they salvage the companies that are poisoning us already? Now, this relates to a story I covered, and Liam, you may not have heard this in yesterday's show, FDA adulterated drugs and industry silence. They were talking about economic adulteration, right? The FDA should be more, the GAO, the General Accounting Office, said FDA should be more interested in the economic adulteration of products, as if, you know, what are you eating the economy, technically? I mean, that the FDA food and drugs, are you drugging the economy? What is going on here? And basically, they were saying that it is more harmful, or you need to pay more attention to companies, for instance, that dilute the ingredients, right? Dilute the ingredients. Like, let's say if they sell chondroitin sulfate with glucosamine. Coming from China, they might add a lot more chondroitin sulfate and a lot less glucosamine, which is a little more expensive. And so they're calling that economic adulteration. But then they reference something like the melamine from China that was added to food, the pet food, that killed a lot of cats and dogs as being part of this. But in this way, there's a kind of a dark, scary side to this where they can utilize this against dietary supplement manufacturers that, my goodness, if there's a fraction of a percentage point less of an ingredient, they now call it economic adulteration, and now it becomes equivalent to a hate crime. right? You heard of hate crimes? It's not enough to beat somebody, right? That's not bad enough to beat somebody.
Sometimes you like them,
right? Like, right, yeah. If you like them and you beat them, it's okay. If you hate them and you beat them, it becomes 10 times worse. Is it the same beating, or now we're talking about thought crimes and bringing the realm of thought crimes into, well, you were motivated by economic reasons. It wasn't just a screw up at the lab. You were intentional, you know, suddenly that's defrauding you in a different way. I mean, it's all fraud, in my opinion, and fraud is enough. That's why we don't need an FDA. You have police that can investigate fraud and say, hey, that's fraud. And that's what we want to defend and protect against, fraud and, of course, force, coercion, which the FDA does because they've granted monopoly, if you will, or played a monopoly status with drugs and don't allow you to speak the truth about selenium and cancer, for instance, without massive disclaimers. We don't agree with the science. Even though it's peer-reviewed, the FDA selects and says, well, no, that science we don't like. Why? Because it might compete with the drugs that we regulate and get lots of money from. I'm sorry. I've got FDA at the mouth.
Yeah, well, it's on the brain. I'm looking at this article at PharmaLot. It's at PharmaLot, FDA adulterated drugs and industry silence.
Mm.
So if we decided to vote for some crazy guy like Ron Paul, who says things like you have to be responsible for yourselves and the government can't be funding many foreign wars and stealing money to do so, and we have to get rid of the Federal Reserve, crazy, crazy, crazy things like that. Who also says we should get rid of things like FEMA and let states handle things, and we should get rid of something like the FDA, which approves more deadly drugs per second than, well, there is no analogy in history.
No analogy in history. And as we say, the hundreds of thousands that are harmed and killed annually, they make all the wars in history pale by comparison, which is when I reference these medical versus military industrial complex, you know, analogies. You say, all right, we know what the military is for, so there's no illusion, or it shouldn't be. But this idea that the drug industry is here to save us and help us, and the government's establishing safety records, levels, etc., is an absurdist notion, and that is the understatement of the century to say that, based on the annual rate of death, and now, you know, the remanufacturing or reconditioning of foods to salvage what? Save money for the manufacturers that don't believe in doing things locally and organically. This is about multinational corporations again.
This reconditioning, this adulteration.
Absolutely, yes. I mean, it's not going to help the mom and pops. You think they're going to get granted the privilege of reconditioning a local food into chocolate ice cream? Not going
to
happen.
No, they don't have the ability to sell what they already make without being taxed. Kids on the street don't have the ability to sell green tea without being nearly arrested.
Green tea lemonade, can't do it.
All right, if you're a 10, 11-year-old in the street in Boston or wherever, you're not allowed to do that. So who's allowed to make food, I guess, is really the question. Who's allowed to do anything for anybody? It's those who benefit from taking the poison, reconstituting it, repackaging it, and giving it to your children in government schools. Seems to be a problem from that perspective. I mean, if you put it that way, it doesn't sound that great.
Right. Right. Well, if you feed the children with basically food devoid of nutrients, reconditioned or whatever, you're going to be able to manipulate and mold them, no pun intended on the mold there, into whatever you want. They become automatons for the state. They worship the state. They rely on the state. And then they look at Ron Paul and they say, wait. You can't eliminate that. How will I know what to do? Of course, they need the government like their mommy and daddy. They never grow up. And most Americans have never grown up because they look to the federal government to take care of them.
And we get into a word that isn't used a lot today, and it's a word that we'll use this week a lot when we talk about the HIV thing, and that word is slaves.
Yes.
They make us slaves to a way of being, a way of living, a way of thinking that we're not even aware of. And there's really no better way to keep somebody a slave than to not tell them that there are decisions being made. That's, you know, when we're children and our parents make decisions for us, we're not called slaves, we're called children, but we don't have any rights.
Yeah.
That's the way Americans are asking to be treated.
Yeah, and this absolutely relates to the abolishment or abolition of American farms. We are hearing, and we'll talk about this, we don't have time that now, we're going to go to break in a moment, but the idea that the Chinese and others are buying up, that carry all the debt, hold all the debt, they're buying up all the farmland. Why?
Why would they buy American farmland? The only thing of real value here?
Interesting. The breadbasket of the world will be taken over by foreign interests because they didn't listen to Ron Paul and say, bring it all home. Stop being the empire. Stop being the policeman of the world. Stop the nation building. Stop the war-making machinery and take care of ourselves. Then we could feed the world and they'd be much more likely to emulate us and do what we say is better instead of by the force of a gun, but by example. Now, as we go to break here, there's an FDA spokesman. I think this is a rogue spokesman. You got some audio from this person talking about the reconditioning of these foods that become FDA approved, what they really are. Do you know about this?
FDA guy, are you there?
You there?
It's people.
What?
What? Go ahead.
Soylent Green.
Reconditioned food.
People.
Is made out of. Oh.
What?
Listen to me, Hatcher. You got to tell them. Silent Breed is people!
No wonder why they got rid of him at the FDA.
Well, he was just going crazy. We're not eating people yet.
Yeah, well, yeah, until they recycle that, recondition that. Look, this is where it's heading, but not if we have anything to say about it. You're listening to the Robert Scott Bell Show on naturalnewsradio.com as well as prepperpodcast.com. They enjoy replaying the broadcast as well. We appreciate that. And Liam Sheff is in the house, and we got a lot more healing to do. Are you ready for some renegade radio?
Me?
Yeah.
I was born for it.
All right, let's rock it. We'll be right back after this.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Since the 1920s, people around the world have been using radio frequencies to safeguard the health of themselves and their families. Through this tested technology, pioneered by Royal Raymond Rife, researchers have found that specific radio frequencies can eliminate viruses, bacteria, molds, and parasites without harming normal healthy cells. Frequency technology could help millions now suffering from various infections, even arthritis, herpes, Lyme disease, and other painful chronic conditions. The BCX Ultra Frequency Instrument has been developed over a period of 30 years. The BCX Ultra is one of the most powerful healing tools ever. Turn ill health around. Enjoy life again. Start learning about the BCX Ultra today. Visit bioelectricsforhealth.com or call 1-800-936-6240. That's 1-800-936-6240. Call today and start the healing.
For thousands of years, silver has played an essential role in safeguarding human health. Robert Scott Bell Show listeners know that Sovereign Silver, bioactive silver hydrosol, is the purest and most effective form of silver available. Only Sovereign Silver contains the smallest and most active particles in every bottle, each batch rigorously safety tested to guarantee the highest quality. At only 10 parts per million, Sovereign Silver outperforms other colloidal silvers 50 times more concentrated. Sovereign Silver acts faster than echinacea, oil of oregano, and other immune products. Tastes like water and has more uses than anything else for the immune system. And Sovereign Silver now comes in a topical first aid gel. Use Sovereign Silver gel on cuts, scrapes, minor burns, bug bites, itching, eczema, diaper rash, and more. Sovereign Silver is the number one selling silver brand in the U.S. For a free information packet to order or for a store near you, call 888-328-8840. That's 888-328-8840 or visit sovereignsilver.com.
Hi, this is the Health Ranger here inviting you to check out the Natural News Store. Yes, we have an amazing store offering superfoods and other healthy food items, including kitchen appliances like Vitamix blenders and food dehydrators, nut milk bags, lots of things for anyone who's interested in leading a healthier lifestyle. And here's another cool part about it, because we have such a huge reach, millions of people a month that we're reaching who follow Natural News, we're able to get huge discounts on some really high-end superfoods and nutritional products. We offer those at ridiculously good prices on our specials page. You can find that right now at store.naturalnews.com. Just go to store.naturalnews.com and you'll see the current specials link on the left-hand column right at the top there. Click on that. You can check out the current specials. We've got superfoods at prices that are often 40 or 50% off. Check it all out at store.naturalnews.com.
On bureaucrats and corporations that would stand in the way of health freedom. Here's Robert.
Liam, who's going to provide the food for the people or the food for the FDA so it can be reconditioned when there are no more farmers in America? Did you see what Mike Adams put out there at Natural News?
Schmeat recipes?
No, not Schmeat recipes. A report here saying investors like George Soros and China are buying up U.S. farmland at an alarming rate. I don't know what rate wouldn't be alarming, but if you think about it, what did you expect they were going to do with all the Federal Reserve notes they hold, all the debt that they hold for America? Not America, really, the corporate United States that seems to run up deficits and debts like it doesn't matter. They're holding all this paper, Liam. They're going, hey, what are we going to do with this? Because they know what the Fed's doing. The Fed's printing it up so they can monetize the debt so they can go, China, ha, you're hosed. You thought we were going to pay you back in real money? No, we're going to pay you back in fractional reserve banking, Federal Reserve notes, and it'll be worth a percentage of that which you thought it was worth. And so they're not stupid. What are they doing? They've been around the block 5,000 years now. They're going, hey, we'll just buy up American farmland. Hey, that's the ticket. We'll get something that ain't going to lose its value.
And they're not making any more of it.
No, so let's buy it up. Under the growing earth theory, eventually there'll be more maybe to buy. I don't know.
200 million years.
Well, yeah, it's going to be a while compounded with interest. The Federal Reserve note will be a negative value by then.
Right.
So look at this. I mean, this is something, again, the Federal Reserve Act of 1913 has brought this about. The inevitable decline of the American empire. It brought rise to the empire, but of course the ultimate destruction of the debasement of the currency. And now American farmers, the family, they can't afford to keep their farm once, you know, they get old and gray and die and they try to give it to their family. Forget it. Half of it's eaten up in the estate tax, which is what? Supposed to target the Rockefellers and the DuPonts who don't have any estate. They have trusts. They just assign the next generation to, hey.
Foundations and trusts.
Yeah. Who cares who owns it as long as you control it?
With trustees and board members deciding how much money to give NPR to put on a fake special about HIV.
Yes.
That's where
matching funds.
The matching funds. Yeah. I will give you matching funds if you lie to the people about bird flu again. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is from the article by Mr. Huff, Ethan Huff.
Ethan Huff over there.
Yeah. At naturalnews.com. Mm-hmm. At the same time, demand for farmland is so high that many landowners feel it just makes good financial sense to sell their land. Another issue is the exorbitant federal estate tax.
Yep.
Also known as the death tax.
The death tax. And this is what they use. Here we go again, bashing liberals, right? Because they're like, you got to have the estate tax because we can't have these wealthy families passing. You know, we've got to bring them on down. We got to tax the rich. And of course, the rich don't pay it anyway. They know ways around it. That's what they call trusts and the corporate, whatever they decide. And it's the poor people. The working poor, the family farmers, they're the working poor. They're not making much. I mean, they should be making a lot. They're the most valuable part of our culture and society until we all start growing our own food.
Mexico?
What, Mexico?
That's our working poor, though.
Oh, yeah.
I'm
talking about the family farm. Look, if you...
farmers can't afford to pay living wages to people in this country because if you try to buy something in this country, you have to pay three times what it cost 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. So people come from other countries, Portugal, Brazil, Guatemala,
yeah.
Mexico, and they think, hey, we're used to living eight in a room, and we'll send the money back.
Right.
I mean, I think one of the biggest... most profitable businesses worldwide is called Western Union. You know, when I was in Hong Kong, I watched all the little entertainment girls, the little entertainment girls going from Thailand, one of the poorest countries in the universe, to Hong Kong, you know, still some sort of jewel of the Orient over there, the British Hong Kong, no longer British, but still British. Mm-hmm. So the westernized version where all the tourists come and the little dancing girls who do more than dance, I guess, if you pay them enough. And I saw some really disturbing looking Western business people or giant marshmallow creatures. I'm not sure what they were, but they were just horrifying to look at and to think that they could pay
anything. So they were using Western Union to send money back.
And I'd watch, and I was there with Helen, my partner, and I'd say, I gotta, you know, my curiosity, my journalism skills, whatever. I'm always watching what's happening, the dynamics. Do you see what I'm seeing? Okay, they're going from here. They go to the Western Union. They send the money back. Well, if you talk to people working on the farms in the U.S., more than half, 2/3, you know, 7/8 of their money goes right back to another country because we don't work the land anymore.
Well, this is called exporting inflation. And this is the reason why the fiat system has lasted as long as it has, almost 100 years here since the inception of the Federal Reserve in 1913. And you export the inflation by what? By how? Basically sending what you used to do domestically overseas where you can pay less than what they call living or substandard wages because no one would work unless you import the foreigners, the inflationary foreigners into this country like they come from Mexico to work the crop, so to speak, at wages that no American is willing to work. And so this is the this is how it all ties together with the Fed. Right. And when Ron Paul says end the Fed, he knows what he's saying. He knows how it links to everything. Yet, you know, people like Barney Frank. I just heard Barney Frank's not running for re-election. Did you hear this? He's retiring from Congress. No, no. More Barney Frank.
There's a great
what? Poor Barney Frank.
I'm gonna.
What's wrong, Barney?
Any comment I make now will be misconstrued as some sort of jab to the ribs. If you can find the ribs on the guy, they're somewhere beneath the layers.
Yes, up there in Massachusetts.
I'm no longer running for governor of whatever I was over there.
I thought I put it yet.
Right. So he managed to get reelected in Massachusetts for 600 years. Why? Because he appeals to the slave population, and by that I mean, that's right, the gay liberals who don't have anybody defending their right to be killed by AIDS drugs, and I call them a slave population for a reason. But anyway,
we'll get into more of that. Believe me, this week, of course, is acknowledging again World AIDS Day, and we are going to tear it apart.
AIDS Slave Day.
Yeah, we are going to tear it apart, Liam and I and others we're going to bring on board here. So we've got a lot to do in that regard, but understanding.
What were you saying, Wobbett?
Yes, Barney Frank. Barney Frank is not running for re-election. And here's a guy who was, you know, chairing the committee that Ron Paul was the ranking member of before the Republicans got the House back. And then they gave a subcommittee chairmanship to Ron Paul in the House Financial Services. But they basically took away some of the powers because they knew what he would be doing with the Fed. So Barney Frank, you know, basically, even though he knows how evil the Fed is, he propped up the Fannie Mae, the Freddie Mac, even Newt Gingrich was supposedly paid hundreds of thousands of dollars by this, you know, real estate bubble that was created by the government and the Fed. And now he's gone. Ron Paul is retiring. Ron Paul is obviously running for president. But, you know, who's going to take the place, the vacuum in there? Is anybody going to champion this movement that needs to happen if we were to restore intellectual, economic, and so much level of integrity as possible of ending that which is allowed for all the corruption to occur? And we see it tied into reimagining, reformulating, reconditioning food. It's all related. Eliminating the farmer, exporting the American job overseas where the inflation is exported because the people will work for pennies an hour, right? You see how it's all related.
John Lennon, as confused as he was about politics, sometimes is doing somersaults. And if you go carrying pictures of Chairman Mao,
yes,
you can buy farmland in Iowa anyhow. That's the new is that revolution now? We're inviting China to come in and farm our genetically modified. Well, they're not ours. They're not ours. Monsanto's fields. No, they are. They are ours. I have to tell you, I don't believe that ownership comes just because you bought the right judge at the right time. I believe ownership belongs to us, the citizens. I don't believe it belongs to the corporations. And I think if we stand up and the Occupy people stand up and say, actually, we don't need to occupy Wall Street. We don't care. We care about the land. We care about the farmers. Why don't we occupy the farms? You know, that's the only problem with the Occupy Wall Street crowd is they go to the urban centers. But that's not really where what matters matters.
You're right. I mean, that's the artificial reality.
Of course I am.
Of course you are. Of course you are, Liam. The artificial creations areas, the condensed city populations, that is far removed from the reality we're trying to, re-initialize if we can. Then, of course, if China buys up all the farmland or if George Soros buys up all the farmland, these people are globalists. And China doesn't care for Americans except that they're a market for their cheap goods. That keeps their population in a materialistic bent so they don't rebel against the communist rulers that also embrace some form of capitalism, some form of free marketeering. But not in a pure sense. And they are in trouble now, too, as the world markets crumble. And what are they going to do with all those Federal Reserve notes? They know they're going to be worthless shortly. They've got to buy up gold. They've got to buy up silver. They've got to buy up all commodities. They've got to buy up U.S. farmland. Are you feeling really good about yourself right now, you dummycrats and republicrats?
Yeah, that's really it. I mean, they aren't making any more of it, said Will Rogers. Buy land. Mm-hmm. Buy land. So what can people do? What can we do? This is disturbing. It's disgraceful. It's disgusting. It's not disgraceful that a Chinese-American wants to start being a farmer. It's disgraceful that China wants to take American farmland to what? Grow the same crap that they're already exporting to us so they can grow the same genetically modified stuff here and sell it to us at whatever premium they decide to after they strip mine it and take all of its nutrients out of it and then mm-hmm. plasticize it somehow. It's enough.
Yeah, yeah, really is. And this is the stunning
We don't eat iPods, you know? This is what's ridiculous
we
about liberals.
We can't eat iPods,
you
right?
You cannot eat a computer. You could try, but you won't make it.
Yeah, I mean, even with the silicon chips in there, it's not the right form of silicon to really restore your connective tissue integrity. Which is something I'd like to see done as well. And if the soils are devoid or stripped of that, just as Liam had said, it becomes a bigger and bigger problem all of the time. Now, if we talk solutions, if we can call them that, I mean, I like to obliterate the problem. There is no spoon kind of concept. But if we look at who owns property, I mean, should we allow, let's say, artificial creations of the state to own property? Or should we, you know, break it down and bring it back to sovereign humans for control, ownership, stewardship, if you will? I mean, property is a fundamental essential right built into the Declaration of Independence and our Constitution. Pursuit of happiness is property, right? Ownership.
Yeah, I want to get rid of this death tax thing so that our farmers can go back to farming and handing over their farms to their families without the government gets none of it, zero of it. Mm-hmm. Zero. If they want to collect a little state tax for a good or mm-hmm. service being provided, I guess that's their business. And they can go and they can tell the farmer to charge 6% on top of what they're charging and then take nothing from the farmer.
Right.
Just that 6%. Have somebody on hand at the store or get out of my face, get out of my business. Stop making us slaves.
Well, and it comes down to the state involving itself in places where it's not needed nor wanted, although the people have been conditioned through government schools, etc., to believe that they have to have the government in every place, like the recording of deeds, which could have been done privately without the government involvement. And, of course, only the government would get involved if there's a dispute. That's different. To arbitrate disputes, that is different. To arbitrate the issues of fraud and, of course, crimes against life, for instance. And this is something that is lost because we look at the land and we look at the mineral rights on the land. That is the essential element in, let's say, not only farming but mining, for instance. If you had mineral rights, you held title in allodium. You ever heard of allodial title?
No.
Very interesting. Very few people know about this anymore. And if you had your title, allodial title, you now could not be taxed because you literally had the rights to the property until they converted it into something that was not real. In other words, they called it real. Interesting, they used the term real estate, which is different and distinct from property. So when you transfer real estate, now you had the titles held by government that charged you a fee, which is property taxes. Then you no longer, even if you paid off a mortgage on that land or that real estate, you no longer had the ability to have that free and clear. So they would always charge you basically a fee for holding title, much like a car that has a so-called mortgage or a loan on it. The state holds title to it until it's paid off. But even then, they hold certificate of title. You never get that title. And they charge you ad valorem or other taxes, licensing fees, whatever, because you never own the property. Mm-hmm. And that's a distinct understanding or misunderstanding or lost understanding in how the government has played its, wormed its way into the inability of the people to be free and maintaining just what you said earlier, the slave status of the American human.
I'm moving to India. I've had enough. I'm going to move to India and live in an ashram and milk the, I don't know.
Well, I don't know if I can milk this subject any further, but there's a lot more that needs to be discussed about this. I'm just planting seeds for thought out there. If you have any questions or comments about anything we've just said, it's 866-939-BELL, 866-939-2355. I'll try to get some links up to get you to, up to date on this and more at robertscottbell.com. The topic of AIDS is going to come up. We're going to take a quick break. I'm going to ask Liam. He had a recent experience in going to where one of those mobile AIDS testing pickup trucks or something. I want to talk about what happened there. You ready for that?
Bum-ba-da-dum-ba-da.
All right. Let's take a break. We'll be right back. More Powerful Healing on the Robert Scott Bell Show with Liam Sheff.
The Robert Scott Bell Show. Pharmacological research from universities all over the world have proven that papaya supplements have tremendous health benefits. At the One Stop Health Shop, that's one-stop-health-shop.com, you'll find our international bestseller, Papaya Leaf Extract. Its natural probiotic formula supports your white blood cells, reduces oxidative stress, and strengthens your immune system. Papaya is one of the richest sources of antioxidants in the world and up to 20 times more powerful than vitamin E. One Stop Health Shop carries a large fermented papaya product selection. Our supplements are all natural, certified organic, GMO-free, and made right here in Australia. But they are shipped to you anywhere in the world free of charge. Take advantage of our limited time down under prices and order now. Don't wait. Visit the One Stop Health Shop. That's one-stop-health-shop.com for all your nutraceutical needs and get free shipping on all products ordered. one-stop-health-shop.com.
Hi, this is Robert Scott Bell, and I want to tell you about my great friends at Enterfood.com. Like me, the folks at Enterfood are fighting the good fight for your total health freedom. Their super green energy drink, Enterfood, is full of natural ingredients like spirulina and chlorella, which can improve your immune system and detox you from harmful radiation. Enterfood was voted best superfood by Mike Adams and the Southwest College of Naturopathic Medicine. Enterfood.com is one-stop shopping for all your health and survival needs. Try their meal replacement product for those watching their weight. Organic immune support coffee, cocoa, coconut milk powder, and herbal tinctures for your every need. Enterfood.com now has developed a new survival preparedness pail packed with all organic, tasty, non-GMO foods to get you and your family through any disaster. All of these great products are now available to you for a 10% discount when you mention the Robert Scott Bell Show. Call them to order at 866-762-9238. That's 866-762-9238. Or go to our product page at Enterfood.com. That's Enerfood.com.
It's a long way to the top if you want to rock and roll.
Taking on bureaucrats and corporations that would stand in the way of health freedom. Here's Robert.
You know, Liam, I'm going to ask you about to hold off on that subject. We're going to talk about opening next. Next hour, because I know I want to go further than we have time to go.
To this hour.
So, hang on. We're going to find out about Liam's experience going to the mobile testing facility, sponsored by
Magic Johnson,
a red ribbon. Anyway, we'll talk about that. But the issue of slavery comes up again and again on this show. Why are we pro slavery? No, just the opposite. We're ones trying to raise the awareness of that we are slaves. We don't even realize that we're slaves. Waking up now. I have come to the conclusion, in this lifetime anyway, that I can't free all the slaves, as much as I'd like to see an end to slavery. I really would, but I realize a lot of people desire to be in that enslaved state. They don't want to grow up. They want a nanny state. They want many different ways, and it's not just one way. I thought maybe this segment I talked about real estate versus property, not owning it, having enslavement, having to pay taxes on property, which you can't do. If it's really yours, it's yours. There's no property tax on that. When it's not yours, the words and art, that's an art form, legal stuff in government and elsewhere, they convince you you're free, but you're really a slave. So what other ways can we be slaves that we're not aware of?
Well, what is a slave? A slave is someone who is owned by somebody else, whose work is owned by somebody else, and who owns nothing of value. Not owns nothing, but nothing of value. And anything that you have as a slave can, of course, be taken by your master. Now, before you say, well, I'm not a slave, I own my house, you can listen to what Robert just said. You don't really. You have to pay taxes on that, because if you don't, your house is taken away from you. Your house goes underwater if you don't pay a certain amount every month. Even if you agreed to pay a mortgage. And I think the word mortgage is funny because it sounds like French word, Latin word for death.
Death, exactly. Death and taxes. Mortgage is death.
Gauging death.
It's slavery. Debt is slavery.
Right. So you can't buy it outright. You buy it slowly, but the interest slowly kills you. And if you ever manage to buy it, you buy taxes. You pay the taxes. So you don't really own it. And if you ever own a car, you have to have a license to drive the car. And you have to buy gasoline. That's not bad. You pay taxes on the gasoline. And that's not really bad either. But you also have to pay exorbitant insurance because you're not trusted to deal with an accident yourself. And if you don't have that and you don't have any of that, you have to pay taxes and you have to have a registration and a licensing fee for that and get it checked out by What do you really own? So what is a slave? A slave is somebody, I'm free, I can go shopping. That's the American response. I'm free. I can buy anything.
Look what you could get on Black Friday.
I'm free.
If you didn't get pepper sprayed.
I can buy anything we want. And here's sort of the Dave Letterman, all shucks, great American. I'm free. I can get anything I want at any time that I want. This is the greatest country in the world.
That's David Letterman.
That's
what is that?
That's sort of your. No, it's not an imitation.
Well, I mean, is that,
he's a clown.
He's reflecting.
He's become a clown. He's become sort of an all-American, all shucks, Iowa. This is the greatest country on earth. You can get anything you want. It's just populist nonsense. Jack Parr, David Letterman. Sorry, let me pull the gap in my teeth apart just a little bit. And all right, Paul. Nobody's here to listen.
Paul Schaefer still there?
I
think there's a clone of Schaefer. I don't think he's really alive.
I think Letterman's a clone. Yeah, okay. He used to be funny. He used to be daring. But he became kind of a slave. And when the 9/11 thing happened, he became even more of one. So what's a slave? A slave is somebody. So if you are a black guy in this culture and you said, well, you're not a slave anymore. I'm not a slave anymore. I can go buy gold jewelry and I'm going to get a PlayStation 3 and an Xbox and I'm going to have both of them. Then I'm going to get a Wii for the kids and I'm going to have my house filled with all the movies that I can buy. What do you own of value?
Mm-hmm.
What do you have that you can pass on to anybody? Everything you bought is made of plastic and cheap electronics. It is worth half of what you bought it for the moment you buy it.
Yeah. And also we talk about what do you own? People say, well, I own my kids. Well, do you? What happens if you go to a state-licensed pediatrician and the pediatrician says, hey, your kid might have cancer? And you say, okay, thank you very much. I'm going to a holistic health care provider that's not licensed by the state because I don't believe in poisoning and radiating my child to death in order to save their life. Now watch the state kick into gear to take your child away or charge you with medical neglect. You don't even own your children. In some cases, they go after you for not vaccinating your children. Somehow tie this in. With Marion Godboldo up there in Michigan, that was the big story. And they tried to force medicate her child who'd been damaged by vaccinations. And we come back to the titling of humans now, the birth certificate, right? It's not, a statement of live birth that's an affidavit that you record in your family Bible, whatever that may be. Now you get a certificate from the state that says you exist and technically we own you. And you don't believe so? Then you number your child like a beast because you want the tax benefits that come along with it. And in Australia, you think it's just in America? In Australia, they've just proposed pulling benefits, whatever those might be, for families that refuse to vaccinate their children. Social engineering through the tax code. They get you hooked on some benefit. And that's why I say if you accept the benefit, don't be surprised when they come down with some nasty rules you don't like. And that is another form of slavery.
You pointed out that when gay people fight for their idea of freedom, they're usually fighting for legal gay marriage. But what you pointed this out to me, what is gay marriage as opposed to a civil union, as opposed to contract law that allows you to share things? Now, I defend very much the rights of gay people to be given all of the rights of non-gay people. But what is a marriage license really about in this country? It's about
asking permission to basically engage in a contractual relationship. Why do you need permission? Are not adults of age to contract able to enter that like I did with my wife? Made a covenant of celestial marriage. We didn't ask permission. We filed it just put it on the public record if anybody were to challenge it. But indeed, we never asked permission. Why should we get a license to do that, which is between me, my loved one, and what I perceive to be God? And it used to be that way. Whatever religion you like a birth, you would catalog it in your family Bible. A marriage, you would catalog it. A death, you would catalog. You didn't need the permission of the state to go, oh, you're alive. Here's a stamp to prove it. Oh, you're married. And of course, for people that are gay saying, oh, we want the same privilege. Right. Yeah, it's not a right. Privileges is the right word. To marry, is it a privilege to marry? Of course, we get into 14th Amendment citizens. We get into post-slavery, post-Civil War era America, where licenses came about because if a white person wanted to marry a black person, at the time they had to ask permission of the government to get approval. And that somehow blended and bled out to mean that everybody has to ask permission of government to do just about anything. Marriage, it's an affront because once the government is involved in your holy union, so to speak, they're going to mess it up, whether they own the kids outright or whether they own them just when you do something against the state-sanctioned religion of modern medicine. They come in and they claim what they claim to be theirs.
Right, and if you decide ever to break up or if you fall apart, somebody owns so much of your real estate and your property and everything at that point, and whether you agree, split up amicably, the laws of the state now determine how you're going to have to come apart. And if somebody gets sick, the laws of the state determine how much right you have to speak for the person that you've lived with for.
Oh, my. Liam, I don't know if we're going to be able to come back after the break after what we just talked about.
Because we were talking about slavery in a nation of slaves?
Yeah. I think can they pull us off the air?
Yeah.
No.
No.
No, Mike Adams wouldn't do that. He loves what we do.
No, they cannot pull us off the air because we're on the internet.
No, we're doing it right. And this is growing beyond belief, and we believe it, though, because the message is something that needs to be communicated and listened to and heard and then recommunicated. So let us know what you think. 866-939-BELL. We're going to take a quick break here. We'll be back with more of Liam Sheff after this. We'll talk about his experience at the mobile testing facility for so-called HIV. We'll find out what that's all about and more. In the meantime, just remember that the power to heal is yours.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Robert Scott Bell Show.
It's my
Welcome to the Robert Scott Bell Show. If you would like to participate, you can call Robert at 866-939-2355. That's 866-939-BELL. And now, it's time to
wake up!
Thank you.
Gentlemen, can I please have your attention? And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Robert Scott Bell Show.
It's three agencies of government when I get there that are gone. Commerce, education, what's the third one there?
Five.
Oh, five. Okay. So
Robert Scott Bell.
Are you aware of the ingredients in the vaccine?
I know there's some egg.
I don't think they offered us a list of ingredients, though.
But did you know that there's mercury in that shot? Oh, I did not.
Robert Scott Bell.
The only thing that supporters of the raw food movement are sick of is people telling them what they can or cannot put in their mouth.
Taking on bureaucrats and corporations that would stand in the way of health freedom and making sense out of medical propaganda. The voice of health, freedom, and liberty, Robert Scott Bell.
It's a conversational Tuesday on the Robert Scott Bell Show as we continue with my good friend and wonderful contributor to the Robert Scott Bell Show. His name is Liam Sheff. Liam, welcome back.
Welcome here.
I'm so glad you're here. We got to talk about some stuff. It's World AIDS Day week. World AIDS Fraud Day week, I should say. Or World AIDS HIV Testing Day. I mean, you know, there's the reality of immunodeficiency we've discussed all at length, and we're going to continue to do so. But getting to the nuances and details of HIV testing, that's another thing that I think we're going to have to go heavily on the World AIDS Fraud Day. But prior to that, you have an experience. Do you not?
Well, we had a...
What? Well, we had a call. Actually, we had a call on this, interestingly enough. By the way, 866-939-BELL, it really works. I will prove to you that number really works. We're going to take a call related to this subject right now.
Hi, Robert. This is Liberty from New York.
Robert.
I had an idea for the upcoming World AIDS Day. This might take something that you might be able to help get accomplished, but I, as a person, individual, can't do it. I had an idea that if House of Numbers, I'm not sure if it's copyrighted, I believe it probably is because they sell the video, if you can get permission from them so that people can download and make burn copies of House of Numbers and then hand it out to all these people as they're walking through these World AIDS conferences. So that would be an awesome way of spreading the news about the lies of HIV.
Nice.
Thought it was a great idea.
All right,
I don't know what you think about it.
All right, Liberty, thanks so much for that.
Robert.
That was a very nice idea. Obviously, yes, it is a copyrighted material. Our friend Brent Leung has done a lot of wonderful work with that. And he actually continues to do that. And in light of her request to kind of give away free stuff on World AIDS Day, we're going to be releasing, thanks to Brent, some additional footage that will be indeed free for anybody to duplicate however you want, to get it out to the world.
You can download it. You can burn it onto your photocopy machine, anything you like.
Especially related to the fraud of the HIV test, which is very exciting. And you are featured in that, Liam.
I am. I'm not involved. I begged Brent. Please release. Yeah, he was willing. We did a thing on the Emperor's New Virus a month ago in which it was discussed by AIDS experts like David Baltimore and Françoise Barré-Sinoussi.
Try saying that fast.
Françoise Barré-Sinoussi.
Sinoussi. Does your dog bite? Did you say the poop? What's a poop?
You said your dog did not bite. That's not my dog.
That's one of the funniest scenes in the history of movies, in my opinion.
I like the striptease. It's one of the later Pink Panthers. I mean, it's just, I can't even find it on YouTube, but I don't know, remember, but look it up. You'll figure out which one. Peter Sellers does a striptease at the end of one of the Pink Panthers, and they're playing something like, you know, some Burt Bacharach song, like The Look of Love, you know, seductive song. And he's just such a mess, you know, and he's like trying to get the scarf off of himself and failing to do so. And then he stumbles and he gets up and he looks at the girl again, like, oh, I'm Finn, don't worry. And then he jumps into the bed, and the bed's one of the, what is those fold away, those,
The hideaway beds, the Murphy beds.
Murphy beds that flip to the wall. And they're on it, and you know it's going to flip to the, it flips to the wall, and you go, okay, that's a joke. No, not only that, they fly through the brick window behind it and fall down like 8 stories into the San River. Anyway, it's a, World AIDS Day right there, more or less encapsulated. That
and it's classic. I mean, if we had a Peter Sellers today making absurdities of these the HIV fraud and the HIV test fraud,
you know what he would say? I don't see any spits under the. You know.
Where are the spits?
Where are the spits under the? Yeah. You know, this is the funny thing about this STD. It's not an STD. You know how you know? Most STDs have the decency to show up on your genitals.
Yeah.
Hey, it's a family show, but right now we're just going to tell the truth. Mm-hmm. Most STDs, in fact, 100% of them have the decency to create a burning, itching, pussing, a canker, a wart, a lesion, a red, bloody, pussy sore.
Something associated with the act of interacting on a sexual way, course.
And ow, doc.
But you said it. With the so-called HIV, so-called AIDS, there isn't that.
This isn't an STD.
No. And we'll get more into that. I mean, I don't want to jump the gun on it because we got a lot to discuss, but I really wanted to get into your recent experience.
Oh, yeah.
Right? You went to one of those Magic Johnson HIV testing, you know, on wheels kind of thing. I see these park benches, HIVtest.net, get your test today. We've talked about, you know, targeting like poor Haitians here in America, French-speaking, Spanish-speaking poor people. Get the test. Go get the test. Why? Why do they want everybody to get the test? We'll talk about that, but tell me about this experience that happened recently over the holiday weekend.
So I noticed on Magic Friday, when everybody has to go make believe that they're American, make believe that American is the same thing as buying stuff you don't need. I saved $250 on this Xbox set. I only paid $250. You mean you spent $250 on? No, I saved $200. How much did you spend? $300 when you got the tax, and I also bought a thing for $50 that insures it. Okay, so you spent $300.
No, I say, come on. Can you hear me?
I saved $250 from what?
Yeah.
What are you going to do with it? Eat it? No, you're going to leave it on the floor and it's going to rot. It'll never.
So speaking of buying stuff, did they immediately assume, hey, do you want your test?
I walked up to the HIV testing van on Magic. We're going to buy stuff to make the economy work day.
Mm-hmm.
I saw this thing. We see these things all over in the poor neighborhoods, the black neighborhoods. And, of course, the gay neighborhood is just built around the slavery of HIV testing. So they have all gay neighborhoods have testing clinics and centers, and every gay person is indoctrinated from the time they're in utero that they have to go get an HIV test once they have sex. But there in the black community, you're indoctrinated, you have signs, and you have the preacher saying, oh, the HIV virus, you have to get it. You may not know that you have it, because they're infested by CDC people. They actually, local hospitals get money to go invade the black and Hispanic Portuguese communities and Jamaican communities, right? So go yeah. in and all that kind of stuff, and you go get tested. But of course, people don't have doctors; they don't have insurance. So where are they going to go get their magical tests? They're going to go to the van in the parking lot in the mall. That's where we do medicine, in the van, in the parking lot, at the mall.
Now, it doesn't have one of those bumper stickers on the back if, no, I'm not even going to go there, but I mean, it sounds
tell me
really
how
kinda,
I'm driving.
Yeah, exactly. It just sounds so surreal and cartoon-like that you just, oh, while you're shopping on Black Magic Friday, right, you're going to get in there and say, hey, well, just come and get tested in here. So you approach, you go into the van.
Yeah, yeah, I walk up to it and I say, hey, I just decided to be non-denominational, non-confrontational, like I'm a kid doing a project, an old kid doing a project for a class. Do you have a package insert? So the guy, AIDS cultist number one, looks at me, hands me a piece of paper. I look at it. It's a PR slip about how important what I'm doing is.
That is not a package insert.
I hand it back. I say, can I have a package insert? It's what tells me how the test works. He doesn't even stop. He hands the paper back to me.
Right back to you.
Before I have a chance, my hand takes it, and I go, no. I hand it back to him, and I say, don't give that to me. He gives it to me. No.
What? What
I
is said, this?
Can I have a package insert? No,
not
that.
Did he know what a package insert was?
Hand me – it tells me the technical specifications and limitations of this test. And he sort of quietly goes away, and then another guy, AIDS cultist number two, he's a 50-something gay dude, comes out, and he's – this is the package insert, and this is this, and this is this. I say, okay, and I open it, and he stands there, and I say, here it is. Here's the language, and I say, oh, this is interesting. Here it is. The ClearView complete HIV test, assay, is intended for use as a point-of-care test to aid in the diagnosis.
Did you call it a ClearView?
That's the name.
The ClearView. It sounds more like for contact lenses.
To aid in the diagnosis of infection, I say to him, this test is suitable for use in multi-test algorithms designed for the statistical validation of rapid HIV testers. I say, wait a second.
Algorithms, statistics.
It's an aid.
Aid to figure. I mean, this sounds very convoluted.
It's not. I said, but do you see that this isn't a test? And then I went on and said, oh, look, do you see this? The ClearView test is not approved to screen blood, plasma, cell, or tissue donors. It goes on. A reactive test using the ClearView complete HIV test suggests the presence of antibodies. I stopped. I said, is that problematic to you? It suggests the presence of antibodies to what? I said, how do you tell people this is a diagnostic test? He said, oh, we never tell people that.
You kidding? He says that they don't tell them that?
Well, they don't tell them that it's not.
Right. I mean, what did you say to that? I mean, immediately you've got a somewhat confrontational moment, and you said you're going to be nice and kind. What did you do?
I said, so what? He said, oh, well, we send them to have Western blots. I said, Western blots? I said, you know, those are the same proteins. They're just laid out on a piece of paper instead of put in a plastic well. Yeah. I said, do you know that they don't even use the Western blot in the United Kingdom because they consider it too variable? It doesn't give any reasonable or reassuring result to the technician. It's never what they hope that it is, so they just don't
aware of
use
that?
It. He said, no.
Was he surprised, look like? Or?
He was somewhere between, I don't hear you, I don't believe you, and are you going to leave yet?
Oh, really? You're starting to get uncomfortable there. Yeah.
Yeah, but he still was, he took a little bit of it in. And then I said, you tell people this is a sexually transmitted disease. Yeah. I said, have you ever heard of the Padian study?
Mm. No. Chances are he didn't. No.
No. Yeah. PADIAN. Padian study. Do you know what that was? Well, they took 175 couples who came in as couples. They let them have sex vaginally and anally, which, and believe me, if you're going to go there, you're going to do everything
every
else.
Every which so, way but loose, basically. You know. And this was, again, discordant couples. We've talked about this on the air. One supposedly HIV positive,
350 people,
one
half
not.
Of them positive, half right. of them not. They kept out injection drug users. I said, how many of the people who were negative having sex with their positive partner for 6 years, and then however long they were couples before they got into the study, how many of them came up positive? Well, I don't know. I'm not good. I said, well, wait a second. You tell me this is a sexually transmitted disease, so just take a guess. I'm not going to hold it against you.
Mm-hmm.
What's the probable number? He said, half. I said, the number was zero. We record zero seroconversions. Now, that's a fact.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean that HIV exists. It doesn't mean that it's not sexually transmitted. It means that when you take 350 people and you test them and you leave out the drug injection users who don't build up a large antibody component, people who aren't injecting drugs don't test positive. Not because they're transmitting anything or not transmitting anything. They're building up crap in their blood.
Inflammatory compounds, or, you know, markers, other things that are cross-reactive, as we know, from the so-called HIV tests that they claim to, well, aid in the it's not diagnostic. We're helping in the algorithm and the statistics. And yeah, this guy's head's got to be spinning at this point, Liam. Honestly. I mean, or now he's tuning out by now. I mean, this is too much.
I don't know. I said, will you look that up? Okay. Okay, P-A-D-I-A-N. I said, do you have anybody who can come on the radio? Well, we have a PR department. I said, I don't want a PR department. Do you have any technicians, laboratory people who can come on and discuss the clear limitations of this fraudulent thing you're selling as an HIV test, because this isn't an HIV. Let's say that I were one of the worried well, and I wanted to go and get reassured that I didn't secretly have something that wasn't an STD because I didn't have any burning anywhere in my private parts.
Hmm.
I had nothing going on in my loins that wasn't supposed to be there.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, I had an anxiety because I'd had a sexual experience that maybe I felt a little dirty about. And I've been told by the culture that that could be where you get the thing that kills you after 40 or 70 or 150 years. Nobody's really sure yet. But if you take the drugs, you could only die within 10 or 5 or maybe 6 months or 20 years. Nobody really knows that either. But it's going to be a rough road. But at least you'll be doing the right thing. This isn't a sexually transmitted thing. This isn't a transmitted thing. People get sick with immune deficiency one by one. One by one. That's how that works. That is the most important thing that anybody can know about AIDS. You get sick individually. You don't transmit sickness.
Right. Well, we talk about it in terms of even influenza, the misconstrued understanding or misunderstanding of everybody catches it when you create it from within between Halloween and the Super Bowl because you abuse your gastrointestinal system. And of course, in extreme cases, abusing it with pharmaceutical drugs like antibiotics, vaccinations. You go to illicit street drugs, immunosuppressant drugs, toxins, all of these things leading to the rise from within of immune deficiency, even collapse. And of course, if you could relabel it, rename it, resell it, market it as an STD that will kill you, now you've got a profit center that just won't quit, except for the fact that we are covering it like nowhere else in media with Liam Sheff. This week, World AIDS Fraud Day coming up, and we're going to be releasing more of the frauds of the HIV test. We'll talk a little bit more about this on the other side of this break here with Liam Sheff and some other stories on the horizon, including the multi-trillion dollar bailout of the banking system so they can make money while putting the debt on you and your children. TARP, that's child's play compared to what just happened. And so we're going to cover that, economic healing, as well as some more physiological and emotional health and healing here on the Robert Scott Bell Show with Liam Sheff, my good friend, great contributor. And I hear the ice cream man.
Oh, God.
I think it's been reconditioned. You hear that? He just went
Silent
by the studio.
Cream is people.
Ice cream man. We're on a break. Come back. I wonder if they reconditioned their chocolate. We're going to find out. Hey, we'll be back. 866-939-BELL, robertscottbell.com, naturalnewsradio.com. Enter your email address there. Get your daily updates. Rocking the health world with my good friend Liam after this.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Hello, this is Jonathan Wagner. We have an internet website, www.choosetobehealthy.com, that carries many of the products discussed on Robert's show, including 100% whole food chromium and selenium, silica, as well as sovereign silver and Nordic naturals. Choosetobehealthy.com features the Rolls Royce of probiotics. It's Dr. O'Hara's probiotics. Dr. O'Hara, a world-renowned microbiologist, formulated a unique probiotic that blends ancient Japanese fermentation methods with 21st century technology. No refrigeration is needed. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics contains the strongest lactic acid bacteria known to man based on scientific laboratory research. 6.25 times stronger. Quite simply, it works and works very well. So go to our website, www.choosetobehealthy.com, or call us toll-free, 866-424-1077. That's 866-424-1077. We're here to help.
Since the 1920s, people around the world have been using radio frequencies to safeguard the health of themselves and their families. Through this tested technology,
Pioneered by Royal Raymond Rife, researchers have found that specific radio frequencies can eliminate viruses, bacteria, molds, and parasites without harming normal healthy cells. Frequency technology could help millions now suffering from various infections, even arthritis, herpes, Lyme disease, and other painful chronic conditions. The BCX Ultra Frequency Instrument has been developed over a period of 30 years. The BCX Ultra is one of the most powerful healing tools ever. Turn ill health around. Enjoy life again. Start learning about the BCX Ultra today. Visit bioelectricsforhealth.com or call 1-800-936-6240. That's 1-800-936-6240. Call today and start the healing.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Welcome back. The Robert Scott Bell Show rocks on with Liam Sheff. And Liam is so into so many different forms of music. I don't know. Is it offensive to say we rock on? Can we say we jazz on? What do we say here?
We can
samba and reggae.
What would the Hepcat say?
The Hepcat, man.
Would they say?
I don't know. It'd cool, be too Daddy. Cool for me.
I don't know. I really don't.
I'm just a nerd here on radio, man.
Well, we can be rock and rollers. We can ramble on.
We can ramble. Okay, I like that. We're going to ramble on here. Liam, your experience at the HIV testing van, fascinating to say the least, as far as education that you provided to this particular, the higher up in the van, so to speak. Seemingly open, but not at the same time. I mean, how do you leave this thing? What happens? Does it throw you out?
Yeah, not really open.
No?
Just impassive, doing his culty duty to bring people in and assure them of one thing or the other. Do you know how many people I've known who I mean, I can't emphasize enough that this isn't an STD. Let's shake this out of our heads now. STDs show up on your special places.
Yeah, and your private parts.
Yeah, and that's you go and you pee out. And you run out of the bathroom going, holy!
Right. It's a whole different realm. And of course, those things are real. They've been in existence for a long time.
We
are not disputing the reality that
not
STDs exist. And that's one of the dangers of so-called casual, sexual revolution kind of stuff, in addition to the concerns we have for emotional and spiritual issues for just
one of the dangers of life.
Living la vida loca. Is that what they call it?
Well, it's one of the dangers of life because, yeah. You know, you can get a herpes, or especially if you have a rundown immune system, chlamydia, gonorrhea, these things can happen. And I'm not chaste, chaste, and I didn't live that life. I wasn't a trollop, but
Big $10 words now, $100 words.
I sowed a number of fields of wild oats in my own special way without going too far, or maybe I did. The point is, it was my business, and this is the thing that kills me about the HIV thing. Are you really going to let the government tell you who you are? And liberals should wake up to this. Are you really going to let the government tell you who you're allowed to have sex with? To explore this most sensitive, delicate part of your psyche? Who are you sexually? What is your orientation? Are you confused? Do you need to, frankly, try out a number of different things over a period of years before you even find who a good partner for you is? Are you so straight, arrow and button down that it never matters to you? There are all kinds of people in the world. I do not discourage people from exploring their sexuality in the privacy of their own lives.
Well, in other words, you're basically stating that it's just like we talked about the marriage license issue before. Is it the role of government? Is it the role of government to dictate these things? Or, you know, if you have a strict moral code that comes from your church or synagogue or mosque, I mean, isn't that a place or a community that you would engage or interact with that you say, okay, voluntarily, I'm part of this group and I have this belief about it versus, hey, or I have no belief about it. I mean, there were 5-6 billion people on planet Earth, and there's a whole lot of history.
Supposed to be up to 7 now.
Well, we've disavowed a whole lot of history about, well, if we speak frankly about human sexuality, and we're probably going to have to do a show on that, right?
Oh, I thought you were putting down the French.
Why would I do that?
Well, the Franks.
Oh, the Francophiles and such.
Because they were such dogs. You know, I mean, all of Europe was overrun by syphilis for a great
debauchery,
deal of
it. You know, even in the so-called, how would you say, the medieval ages?
Sure. The royal courts of England are cesspools of indiscriminate and really awful sexual pairing. I'm tired of being told how we're supposed to act. I don't think you should run out and be a whore or a slut or a trollop or a slattern or any other word that you want to apply to it. I think that you should, though, understand that you have a nature to be explored in this lifetime, and it's not the government's business to tell you.
I think that's the point here, is it not?
That you have to be a certain way. Just because we have no moral code anymore, I don't need the mind virus. That's what HIV is. It's a mind virus. It's nothing you can test for. It's not a particle that causes T cell degradation. That doesn't exist. It's not a single anything that Robert Gallo ever found, and they'll admit that. We'll talk about that on Thursday.
Yeah.
They'll admit all of that. You read their papers, not the PR. Their papers, they say we never found any particular thing. It was always different. No, it didn't infect T cells. No, we're making it up. They'll tell you. But we're in charge, and nobody's smart enough to catch us. Well, you know, fortunately or unfortunately, some people are smart enough to catch them, and we do, and nobody, maybe a lot of people don't believe us. Think about it. Are you going to be a slave? Are you allowing you walk up to the government institution and say, here, tell me how I'm going to die. Tell me who I can have sex with. Tell me that I have to go tell everybody that I'm a leper now because I slept with Molly or Sam or whatever. It's nobody's business. Nobody's business. And people in this gay community live as slaves because the left only believes that they have a right to exist if they go get HIV tests. And unfortunately, some of the hard right doesn't believe they have a right to exist at all. I believe they exist, therefore they have a right to exist. I don't need to know anything else about it. It's not my business.
And when we go to the legitimate STDs that have existed in thousands of years of recorded human history.
Like cooties?
Cooties, of course, starting with cooties. There are homeopathic miasms associated with it. I mean, again, hundreds of years of knowledge in that regard. Syphilinum, they've got, you know, ones that reference gonorrhea. Different things that are inherited predispositions, etc., that, you know, go through certain family line. So literally no family is untouched by that kind of history. So for anybody to claim that there was a, you know, a puritanical bloodline that didn't engage in it, it doesn't exist. It just doesn't exist. And it doesn't mean that we're all doomed to, you know, to fail in life. Like, we hope that we can learn from history and, you know, behave responsibly. But as Liam has said, to look to the government to tell us about it, that's us being children as adults, becoming subservient to a nanny that is not appropriate.
It's the S word again.
What's the S word? Slavery.
We're slaves.
Again. Yeah. That is going to be a recurrent theme here. And as we talk about this and many other things this week on the Robert Scott Bell Show, freeing the slaves, we don't, I mean, I'm not so.
I don't want to free the slaves.
No, I'm not so. We can't. It's an individual choice. And that's the only thing, is becoming aware of it and the discomfort that's out there. Even talking about the subject, is it because it causes a mirror to be held up for those that don't want to see it? It's like, wait a second. I don't want to hear that I'm a slave. I don't want to know it. I just don't want to know it. Well, turn off the stream if that's the case.
Yeah, turn it off. Take your drugs.
Yeah, take your medicines. Take your FDA-approved pharmaceuticals.
I don't care.
We're not coding this stuff for easier go-down. This is not the way it's done here. But the point is, if you're ready for this information, you will be empowered like nothing else. You will no longer be subservient and enslaved, and it's a moment you realize it. You start living differently.
I want a detente in the war. Right now, there's a war being waged by pharmaceutical companies, oil magnates, and the rest on people who choose to live a life that is frankly healthier but different than their system. They are so insecure because, frankly, many of them are evil. They are so insecure in their policy that they need to bully, cajole, destroy, and ruin anybody who doesn't agree with them. I want a detente. I don't care what slaves, people who want to be slaves, want to do. We've all been slaves to something. I've been enslaved to various kinds of fashion or purchases or this or that.
Thought
in my
forms,
life.
Beliefs,
thought
et
forms,
cetera.
Beliefs. Yeah. We're all enslaved sometimes. I'm not here to save anybody from that. I want a detente. I want the pharmaceutical companies to say, you know what? If you want to believe in this crap, here we have
right
it.
In.
Line up. We'll give it to you. But I want the gay community and the AIDS mafia and the AIDS police to understand, you don't bother people who don't want you. You prey on the people who need you. I guarantee there are people who need you. They can't think for themselves, and they never will. And if they want to throw their lives down your toilet, it's their business, not mine. I'm not here to save them. But there are people who are struggling because they've been falsely branded with this crap diagnosis, who have been fine for 20 years, except when their doctors, 30 years, except when their doctors almost forced them to go on the drugs for a few months, and they lost all sense for those months, and then they said, I'm done with this. They can't go to regular doctors. They can't get treated for anything normally. It's hell for them. I want a detente. They have a right. They need a right to turn in their diagnosis. That's what I want.
Turn it in. Yeah. Burn
That's
it
what
up.
I want this
Reject
World AIDS
it.
Day.
I nullify
want,
it.
Right. I want people to nullify their HIV results.
Absolutely. Now, the mature understanding
that
we're talking
speech.
About.
That was a speech.
That was really wonderful.
You know what? I want
I'm
a couple.
Inspired.
You know, I want a chocolate bunny or something.
You can have a chocolate bunny. Our friends from Maine have sent us some chocolate bunny.
Yes, okay. I'll have some
organic,
more of the chocolate
raw
from Amy's
cacao.
Living
cacao,
magic.
Cacao. Yeah, let's do it. Hey, the mature understanding here we're talking about, because I remember, and I've talked about this on the air before as a teenager, thinking I can save the world, right? You get some people have that thought form, whether it be in healing or I want world peace, right? The naive and idealistic youth that says, I'm going to change the world. And then at a certain point, you realize, well, I can only change myself. But the reality is, once you do, your consciousness shifts. You impact on others inadvertently, even without purposefully doing so, just by walking differently, by talking differently, by moving through life differently, by believing that your energy shifts. And that allows others to shift their energy, should they be so open, as opposed to those that would force their way. Because there is a point in time where we become zealots, religious converts. For instance, somebody might learn that HIV doesn't cause AIDS, that it hasn't been isolated, and the HIV tests are fraudulent. And they might go nuts with this information, Liam. They might go up, I'm going to hold a placard, I'm going to go in everybody's face, and I'm going to, don't do it. You're asking for disaster. You're asking for, that's the difference, what you're saying about detente versus going in and freeing the slaves who don't want to be freed. As I said, people are going to be very annoyed. In fact, you think the great danger are the captors, are the slave masters?
Right.
Much more dangerous are the slaves themselves, who are then awoken to a reality they didn't want to wake from.
Oh, God, yeah, they're the worst.
And we have to be very sensitive to that, or else we create absolute a warlike disaster as the slaves revolt, not against the slave masters,
oh, no,
but against those who would point out that they're enslaved.
Right. No, HIV slaves are the most unreasonable group of people you've ever met. Instead of being happy or interested that people are, have done fine without the drugs, even though hundreds of thousands, probably millions of people have died on the drugs at this point, but certainly hundreds and hundreds of thousands have clearly been poisoned to death, even in the mid-90s alone, early 90s on AZT. A healthy young guy is given this drug for a matter of weeks, die. Even though this is the case, if one or two or three people over 20 years who said HIV isn't the cause of AIDS dies, they'll put this on every placard as though three people seem to indicate that they were right all along. For them, every death is a victory. I mean that. There's something wrong with them.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to interfere with that wrongness. I want the people who want to choose another way to be left alone. It's like the end of the Matrix. You can't destroy the Matrix, but you can't destroy the fact that some people want to be free. We have to sort of just deal with it.
Find that so-called balance, those that are ready. And you know, it isn't just a free pass. Oh, here you go. Here's your ticket out, right?
It's
hard work.
You
have to re-win it every day.
It's hard work.
Yes, extremely hard work. So anybody that sells you, hey, I've got the ticket to freedom. You just here, sign up right here. Give me $100 or $1,000 or $1,000,000, whatever, $1 trillion if you're Ben Bernanke. Everything's good. It doesn't work that way. Freedom, if you talk about a state of consciousness, a state of mind, a state of being, it must be re-won every day. You know, the wisdom of our founding fathers, so to speak, in America, we would acknowledge that their consciousness wasn't all there. They were brilliant men, for the most part. I mean, they were well studied on human history, throughout recorded history, and what they did was an amazing thing. What they left for us was an amazing thing. Did they hold their own slaves? Yes, many of them did.
Yeah.
The consciousness of the day was something that we would say is abhorrent, yet at the same time, it doesn't take away or in any way denigrate the acknowledgement, the recognition, the consciousness that they did have in another realm of human freedom, even though they didn't acknowledge humanity in all of its so-called racial distinctions, preferences, colors, etc., that we might have the conscience to go, well, yeah, of course, that's absurd. We're human first. But at the same time, what we're left with is a constant struggle between slavery and freedom that goes on to this very day. Slavery never went away. Lincoln may have freed some of the slaves, but he established another environment that was also engaging in slavery, just in a different form, just like we talk about it in terms of pharmaceutical slavery or HIV testing slavery, or what other kinds of chemical slavery can the government approve?
iPad slavery?
Yeah, that too.
iPod slavery, iPhone slavery.
Well, we'll talk about the economic slavery when we come back. We got to take a quick break here on the Robert Scott Bell Show. Fascinating discussion. I'm going to have to re-listen to some of the stuff Liam said today. Man, not like usual. No, and I laugh. He's usually so funny. Oh. He's serious today. We love you, Liam.
Yeah, that was the part of the movie where the guy gets up and slowly claps.
Claps together. That's a classic, isn't it? Listen, this is great stuff here. Thank you for being here on the Robert Scott Bell Show. Get another segment with Liam Sheff coming back after the break.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Pharmacological research from universities all over the world have proven that papaya supplements have tremendous health benefits. At the One Stop Health Shop, that's one-stop-health-shop.com, you'll find our international bestseller, Papaya Leaf Extract. Its natural probiotic formula supports your white blood cells, reduces oxidative stress, and strengthens your immune system. Papaya is one of the richest sources of antioxidants in the world and up to 20 times more powerful than vitamin E. One Stop Health Shop carries a large fermented papaya product selection. Our supplements are all natural, certified organic, GMO-free, and made right here in Australia. But they are shipped to you anywhere in the world free of charge. Take advantage of our limited time down under prices and order now. Don't wait. Visit the One Stop Health Shop. That's one-stop-health-shop.com for all your nutraceutical needs and get free shipping on all products ordered. one-stop-health-shop.com.
Hey there, this is Mike. Got a couple of things you may want to check out. Did you know about the website counterthink.com? These are some really hilarious, freedom-oriented, health-oriented, even political cartoons that you got to check out. counterthink.com. And if you want to know what's in your food, go check out foodinvestigations.com, where you've got a bunch of free mini documentaries, little videos there that you can watch that will show you what's in your food and what's not in your food. We talk about Total Blueberry Pomegranate Cereal made by General Mills. Did you know it has no blueberries in it and no pomegranates? We got the video right there on foodinvestigations.com. And if you really want to know what's in your food, your medicine, your personal care products, and so on, head over to naturalnews.com. We're publishing about 12 articles a day now, everything from healing superfoods to the dangerous chemicals in your products, foods, and medicines. naturalnews.com. Check it out.
Why is it so many people suffer from so many illnesses today? Why don't doctors know how to help you? Could it be that our doctors don't know how because there's a nutrition solution and they only know about drugs? Over 68 diseases are connected to a deficiency of glutathione. The missing ingredient to increasing your body's production of glutathione is cysteine. Raising your glutathione production protects you from cancer, heart disease, Parkinson's, macular degeneration, lung disease, digestive diseases, diabetes, Alzheimer's, ALS, rheumatoid arthritis, and lupus. Nature's richest source of cysteine is unheated whey. Heating can damage much of the cysteine. One World Whey is the first undamaged whey protein on the market. Using One World Whey may support optimal glutathione production unlike any other food or supplement you've ever taken. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, children of all ages, welcome to the greatest show on earth!
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Robert Scott Bell Show.
Alive, it's alive, it's alive!
The masked man who outsmarted you and your gang is none other than
Robert Scott Bell.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
Robert Scott Bell.
You see, we're on a mission from God.
What are the forms of slavery, Liam, perhaps the most profound and pervasive? I mean, we can get to the spiritual crisis, you know, of slavery, but on the planet Earth, it really comes down to economics, honestly, economic slavery. Can you control the economics of planet Earth? If so, you can get people to do whatever you want them to do by starving them or feeding them. Right? Or providing a terrain for freedom, like a free market thing, like American, I say capitalism, but I don't like the word. I like what Jerry Doyle calls it, crapitalism, because it's crony at this point, but free markets. And the free market was lost, was destroyed the moment the 1913 Federal Reserve Act came into being. And that's why I want to talk about a little economic healing before I let you go. You know, this discussion of slavery, we couldn't do it justice if we did a show on it every day for the rest of the year. We wouldn't do it. But this is very important because this really is the issue. And I want to come back to the point. We're not in the delusion that we can free all the slaves. We're not even trying to. Literally, we're putting information out there. You do with it as you will. Information is something that you can accept, reject, regurgitate, spit out, anything. Just like the guy that you know, the HIV test van. You go in there. Well, who knows what the guy's going to do? He might have planted a seed in him. A year from now, it's like, wait, I remember that. Somebody else talks to him. And so you never know just by being what you were. And beautiful, you weren't belligerent in any way. And you just brought an experience that was pretty much peaceful, even though inside we can feel anger and rage for the injustice of it all. At some point, we say, how best can we communicate and interact with people? But the Fed, man, they do it in secrecy. It's all about secrecy. We just now, yesterday, was revealed head of the, this is really starting to gain traction here. And of course, Ron Paul's looking smarter and smarter by the day. Secret Fed loans help banks net $13 billion. You might say, wait, $13 billion? That's not a lot anymore, $13 billion. But how did they get that $13 billion? Evidently, $7 trillion, nearly $8 trillion created out of thin air, Federal Reserve note dollars that the Fed created to bail out the banks. This is in addition to TARP, anything that Congress authorized. When Ron Paul says the Fed, they're more powerful than the president and Congress combined, he's not exaggerating. If you can create $7 trillion out of thin air to bail out your bankster crony buddies, salvage them from, you know what, investing in toxic assets, the Troubled Asset Relief Program, TARP, talking about derivatives, packaging loans that could never be repaid, these mortgages we talked about, another form of economic slavery on land and on property that is not property, it's now real estate. This is all an economic shell game, and it's another form of slavery. What do you call the ability to print out trillions of dollars and put it on children that have yet to be born in America? They're born into debt slavery. Until and if and when, perhaps, the American people or an individual one at a time wakes up and says, hey, that was never my debt. How did they give that to me? How did I get that? How did they assign that to me? And we come back to other things we've discussed on this program, and I've talked about many lectures over the years, some of which I have to veil around because I can't speak directly upon it. Others, well, some we get a little direct upon it. But this issue, Liam, of economic slavery, nothing is showing itself ugliness, if you will, more than what Ben Bernanke and the Fed have done and are doing and now being revealed through the secret shield that they thought they had, now because of the secret audit and Freedom of Information Act requests. This is a stunning time.
$7 trillion.
Yeah, over $7.7 trillion.
Yeah. Here it is. The Ron Paul should hold hearings on secret Fed bailout, says Brent Badowski on thehill.com. In one of the most underreported stories today, it is now revealed that the Federal Reserve Board pumped a secret bailout.
Yes, secret
bailout fund of perhaps, he says, $7 trillion into major banks that had not previously been disclosed. $7 trillion. Now, when we had the first bailout, there was a large pretense of voting for it.
And it was like $700 billion?
Right.
That they claimed.
That's
right.
Yeah. And then they told the truth that it was closer to a trillion, and everyone was flabbergasted. And then it turned out that that money went to all the wrong places.
Foreign banks, foreign governments, right? On and on and on.
Right. So we had all this money that was supposed to help make. Here was a silly word, shovel-ready jobs.
Shovel-ready. Got to love that. Right. Were they digging graves for the debtors or the debt slaves?
Doesn't mean a thing because that didn't happen. And that money wasn't really needed. Really, what needed to happen was a number of institutions probably should have collapsed, gone out of business, including some of the motor companies, collapse, gone out of business, reorganize.
So people would have bought up the parts and reestablished things that people actually genuinely needed, could afford, etc.
Made cars that got 60 miles to the gallon running diesel.
Mm-hmm.
We could have had an entirely different set of things on the road today that would have made the oil problem really
diminish.
Diminish,
yeah.
Is the right word.
Of course, this would not play well on so-called Wall Street. And this is where the Occupy Wall Streeters, they have a gripe, but they're griping to the wrong area. I mean, they're literally just given the fuel. Wall Street is given the fuel. What do they do with it? They burn it. Of course they're going to burn it. What do they do? That's what they do. They're engines, right, in their own way. And the Fed is the prime, the pump, the everything that allows all of that to happen. No amount of regulation of Wall Street is going to stop it until you end the Fed, rein them in, not even regulate the Fed. It's not even going to work because the whole basis for fractional reserve fiat money is such that it enriches the wealthy elite of planet Earth at the expense of the middle class and poor, and an ever-increasing middle class and poor. And the middle class is diminishing each year because of the inflation. $7 trillion go into planet Earth. You think it's not going to affect the value of the Federal Reserve note dollars you hold in the bank?
$7 trillion. Now, somebody, in order for money to get printed, the Treasury has to, no, the Congress has to print, has to pass. No, they don't even have to pass. They just print a sort of a loan sheet, and they say, well, this is worth $7 trillion at the Federal Reserve, and they take that to the Treasury.
Mm-hmm.
But that's essentially a loan against the future. So all of the money that's being created is a debt taken out against some future date. Then other countries have the ability to buy that debt, like Japan used to, like Saudi Arabia does now, like China does. Now that China has another $7 trillion in secret debt,
they better convert that into land,
farmland.
You bet.
Before,
ooh, where have we heard that before? I know. I think it was on the Robert Scott Bell show. Yeah, that Liam was talking about it. Yeah.
You were.
Oh yeah, we were both talking about it. But yeah, this is what is happening. We are literally witnessing. We are in the midst of the economic collapse of the entire global financial system, because it all went fiat, it all went funny money, it all went counterfeit.
At the end of the Roman Empire, under one of the later emperors, whose name is going to, I want to say Domitian, but that's not it, it doesn't matter, Diocletian, the empire was losing money. They were overextended in foreign wars, they had overextended their boundaries, they couldn't hold it anymore, and so a strict system of levies and taxes on landowners was put in place, so that anybody working the land became a slave to the land. They could not afford to leave it. They couldn't afford to farm it. And slowly the empire fell to the foreign hordes who would come in. People would run away from the empire. They would take mm-hmm. everything they had and run out of the boundaries of the empire where they could not be found by the taxman.
Yeah.
Then when the, I'm going to forget some of the names, but the Gauls, the French, the Visigoths, the Ostrogoths, all the rest, and the people coming in through North Africa came into the empire, they found a thing so pulled apart and so poorly defended that they could beat the once invincible Roman Empire, because it had been destroyed
from
the inside out.
Yeah.
By overtaxation and overextension of the imperial boundary.
Which is very much what Ron Paul has been saying for 30 years, ever since Nixon closed the gold window, that it would destroy what was left of the economy, and it would leave us all poor. It would leave the nation basically helpless. The mightiest military power on planet Earth's history that we know of will not be able to pay its soldiers.
Except for the Thundercats.
The Thundercats?
Well, I think, never mind.
Oh, was that a 1960s Japanese?
I think they were prehistoric. Anyway, keep going.
Okay, all right. Didn't know about that.
And the Transformers.
Yeah. Oh, the Transformers, of course, yes. The dark side of something. The dark side of Ben Bernanke's butt at this point is what we're dealing with. I'm sorry. I'm just a little upset by that. Again, economic slavery. That's why we're talking about this. And
that was a huge album, by the way, in the 70s.
The Dark Side of Ben Bernanke's butt.
Yeah, it was on the charts for like 150 weeks or something.
Yeah, who was that? Alan Greenspan or Pink Floyd?
It was Pink Bottom, I think. But go on.
Yes.
Keep going.
Well, you want me to continue after that? Oh, I've absolutely lost it at this point. Well, we're looking at, as I said, economic collapse from within. Al-Qaeda didn't take us down. Taliban didn't take us down. But the Federal Reserve Act of 1913 has done what no terrorist could possibly ever do. And even Osama bin Laden said, hey, listen, if I can get these guys into foreign entanglements, speaking of the U.S., into foreign entanglements, we can bleed them. We can bankrupt them. And the only option they have is to continue to print the paper money until China no longer accepts it. But look, as long as they can buy land, they're going to keep playing along, because their regime in China, is also dependent upon this continuing fiat system as well. Even though they're buying up and their people are buying up gold and silver to salvage things locally, but their government is on tenuous grounds as well. Can I say that? Tenuous grounds? I just made that up. I don't even know if that's real. But basically, as these world markets collapse, as the U.S. collapses, as Europe and the euro collapse, people aren't going to be buying stuff made in China. Not because they want them or don't want them or not. They won't have the money to pay. And, of course, what happens in China with a billion or more people? They're not in good shape either. That's why they're invested in keeping the charade going. Because you keep asking, well, why would they keep playing this game if they know they're going to be paid back in fractions of a penny compared to what they are owed, right, on that so-called debt that they hold? Because they're in the same pickle, the same mess.
Yeah, they've all bought into the, we can take a, we dig a hole into the future, and from that hole we'll extract what we need today.
Mm.
It's all a fantasy. It's a myth.
It's infantile. It's immature. It's childlike, not in the childlike wonderment, but in the irresponsible child. That's what we're dealing with.
We just call that bratty.
Bratty. A bunch of brats. Chinese brats, American brats, Euro brats.
You gangster brats.
Yeah, I used to call my friends from Europe Euro trash because they call me Am trash. But we loved each other. We can do that. You know, you can have that kind of fun. But this is what we're dealing with here. The issue of slavery, very real, and it was not abolished. It was altered. It was simply altered, changed in form. But economic slavery, as we talked about different things like the HIV-AIDS slaves, the HIV testing slaves, other forms, property slaves, it's real estate slaves.
Vaccine slaves, right?
Antibiotic cancer treatment, allopathic oncology slaves. All of these things play the same game of keeping you from, I guess, experiencing your full reality, your full potential, who you really are, your relationship to the entire world, to governments, etc. And those overlords, those elitists, do not want you to wake up and see that these realities. That's why I say we can't really make you do anything here. We're just kind of relating some information. You do with it as you will. If you love liberty, if you love freedom, of course, you know what to do. Ron Paul's out there waiting for you on one level. But even that's not going to change the entire planet. I mean, these things are going to change whether Ron Paul becomes president or not. We're in the midst of the collapse that he has predicted and the Austrian economists have predicted. What are we going to do to pick up the pieces? Start growing your own food.
Most important thing.
Yeah. If you can buy land, of course, if you can find a low deal title, that's another story. I'll have to do a show on that, Liam. But boy, oh boy, we covered some major ground today.
Yeah, it was a rib tickler.
Oh my gosh. Sorry for the intensity.
I mean,
we'll lighten it up eventually.
Someday.
But we do have, on Thursday, a couple of days from now, World AIDS Day.
We're releasing an entirely new video from
House of Numbers.
Brent Leung, House of Numbers. It'll be on the web, and we'll have exclusive clips. And
look for a big article by Liam Sheff, and Mike Adams has agreed we're going to put that out for everybody to see. So no pressure, Liam, no pressure.
Yeah,
it's amazing. All right. Well,
okay.
If you have a question or comment about anything we've covered today or anytime, 866-939-BELL, 866-939-2355. And again, thanks to Liberty from New York for calling in on the House of Numbers suggestion. In fact, we're taking you up on it.
We got some
free stuff coming out for you to hand out to everybody. So I'll be right back to wrap up the show today. Liam, thank you for being a part of it. Very essential part of it. I think you're an essential nutrient. What is that?
Gracias.
I should call you Liam Selenium, Chef.
Gazungo.
Be back after this. Thanks again, Liam. Thanks to everybody out there. Stay with me. We're going to wrap it up after this brief break.
You're listening to the Godzilla of Health Talk Radio.
Run! It's Godzilla!
It's the Robert Scott Bell Show.
For thousands of years, silver has played an essential role in safeguarding human health. Robert Scott Bell Show listeners know that Sovereign Silver, bioactive silver hydrosol, is the purest and most effective form of silver available. Only Sovereign Silver contains the smallest and most active particles in every bottle, each batch rigorously safety tested to guarantee the highest quality. At only 10 parts per million, Sovereign Silver outperforms other colloidal silvers 50 times more concentrated. Sovereign Silver acts faster than echinacea, oil of oregano, and other immune products. Tastes like like water and has more uses than anything else for the immune system. And Sovereign Silver now comes in a topical first aid gel. Use Sovereign Silver gel on cuts, scrapes, minor burns, bug bites, itching, eczema, diaper rash, and more. Sovereign Silver is the number one selling silver brand in the U.S. For a free information packet to order or for a store near you, call 888-328-8840. That's 888-328-8840 or visit sovereignsilver.com.
With natural and man-made disasters and economic turmoil, if we don't get well prepared, we will most certainly regret it. Good readiness must include storage of high-quality food that will build us up rather than tear us down. Much of the storable food available is full of bad fats, salt, sugar, nutrient-poor refined foods, and even MSG. In response, EnerHealth Botanicals has created our 40-day and 40-night 100% organic preparedness pail. It's GMO-free and has a 10 to 20-year shelf life if stored at 60 degrees or less. Some of the items need cooking, some can be eaten dry, while some can be soaked and sprouted. These are selling out fast at third the price of storable food packages. Call us at 866-762-9238. That's 866-762-9238. Or go to enerfood.com, enerfood.com. 866-762-9238. Or go to enerfood.com.
In the health world through the power of radio. It's the Robert Scott Bell Show.
Hey, thanks again to Liam Sheff for hanging in there for a really barn-burning discussion of slavery and more, the economic travesty, economic slavery being the big one here. But I just saw this morning on Fox News, they were interviewing one of their house doctors about the costs of health care, Don. You know, we talk about economics. And, of course, those that love their doctors or like their doctors are happiest with their doctors. Guess what? This should be a moment of duh. We don't have time to do a full-on moment of duh.
Moment of duh.
Exactly.
Okay, go.
But the patients that are happiest with their physicians are the ones that get the shortest wait times and the longest consultations.
This headline blew me away. I was like, really?
Surprise.
Patients are happy with their physicians if they experience short waits and long consults. No kidding.
No, Don, I love it when I go to a doctor and wait for 3 hours and get 20 seconds. I mean, that's what
awesome.
Really.
I love the elevator music in the waiting room. I just can't get enough.
Oh, my gosh. How many old – do they still have People magazines? I remember years ago they had those things. But
oh, yeah.
How much of those can you read? Come on.
Yes, and every magazine there is you're waiting – you're a guy in the waiting room, and mm-hmm. all they've got is Cosmo and Red Book, right?
No, you know, I'm telling you, though, this is true. I will confirm that, you know, being happy with physicians if they have short waits and long consults. Remember we had Dr. Cintrone on, the dentist, last Advanced Medicine Monday, right? It was really a cool thing. She's awesome. And my wife had to have some work. She had to have an extraction because a tooth that she didn't care for a lot of years. And, you know, this woman is really wonderful. She is like if you got to see a doc, you want someone that's going to spend the time. We don't have to wait long. You go in there. She takes the time with you. She talks with you. She's really, her heart is in it. And those are the docs that we like, even if they're in the allopathic realm, we respect and admire. And of course, they're doing their job as they're trained to do. And they're not shills in any way. They're literally doing it the right way. And I appreciate and respect all of them. And, you know, sometimes we get to highlight them here on the show.
Yep. And you know, the one thing that jumped out at me when I read this article is that, yeah, it's so obvious that short waits and long consults will make people happy. But socialized medicine is not going to give us that. It's going to give us the opposite of that.
Oh, yeah.
You know, long consults with a doctor you're familiar with, somebody that can be your doctor throughout your life, mm-hmm. take care of you, take care of your kids. You know, that's something that's missing and something that's slipping away and something that's being taken away from us, especially right. if we're moving into something like Obamacare.
Well, and this study, or I will say this report that I saw on Fox News early this morning, they were saying, 20 to 30% of GDP will be eaten up by so-called health care, $4 trillion. Of course, it is not health care, as we've argued for years here. It's disease management. And, of course, Obamacare or any form of socialized medicine or more government intervention will only drive the costs up. They'll make your wait times longer. They'll ration the care. And then when you see the doc, it's, you know, 420 seconds, literally, because they're going to have to see 1,000 people who are just availing themselves of a so-called free service, which is never free. However,
sure. And it's a different doctor every time.
Sure, you know, there's no communication. There's no relationship building. And part of the, you know, the doctor-patient relationship is about relationship. It's about trust. And you can't have trust in a system like that, in a monopoly. And so we've argued here for years, and I continue to maintain that the only way, the only solution to the so-called healthcare crisis, disease management crisis, is freedom. It's freeing up all the healers to heal. It's a separation of medicine and state. It's a separation and an elimination and dismantling of the medical monopoly. And it's allowing all doctors and non-doctors to hang out a shingle and to acknowledge this is what I'm trained to do. You can't lie. It's not about suddenly allowing fraud. I mean, there's always been laws against fraud well before there were licensure laws and medical monopoly. And the medical monopoly and licenses tend to protect the bad docs, the bad apples, not the good ones, and the people are harmed by that. So let the marketplace decide and let you decide who you want to see, what you want to avail yourself of, and watch the prices come down. Watch everybody be able to afford it. And if you can't, now you have the ability to give true charity because the government is no longer standing in the way and blocking it by saying, well, no, we have 1,000 rules here. If you want to give away a pill or you want to give away a service, you're going to have to sign this paper in triplicate 10 times over in order to give charity. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, well, we like we've said before, we talk about ending the Fed. We have to end the Med, the medical yes. monopoly. It's got to be done.
Absolutely.
If we're going to turn this around.
Well, we end the show today on that note. And tomorrow, I know we got a couple of cool guests. One of the guys, I had a funny comment. Everybody knows how to say one-stop-health-shop. I got a guy from Australia who's going to talk to us about the fermented papaya stuff. I wanted to hear more about it. So we got some background on that as well. We're working toward the World AIDS Day special, World AIDS Fraud Day special. So be with us there. Remember, on the Robert Scott Bell Show, the only thing I'm left to remind you of is, besides the number that you can call, 866-939-BELL, is that the power to heal is yours.
The Robert Scott the Bell
Robert
Show.
Scott Bell Show.
Scott Bell Show.